Well, again, good morning. God's blessings on each and every one of you. It's Good Shepherd Sunday, as I said before. And you've heard the readings from Acts and from Revelation and St. John, but the psalm for today is a very familiar one. It's Psalm 23. And I thought that I would like to do something a little different. Not way different, but a little different. Most of the time we hear Psalm 23 at funerals, right? When somebody's suffering, going through a dire circumstance. But I'd like to have us look at it in a different way. When we read the Bible, who is it that we are looking for in the Bible? Are we looking for us, or are we looking for Jesus? That's an important distinction we have to make. Every time we read anything in the Scriptures, first and foremost, we have to look for Jesus in there. A few years back when I was preaching up in Bowler, there was one of the women came up to me after the service. We had read something from one of the Psalms, and she said, "I don't think I can live up to that Psalm." And I told her, "Well, first and foremost, let's see what Jesus is doing in that Psalm first, and then we can apply it to us later." And then it made more sense to her. Sometimes we look at things in the Scriptures and we try to make them fit us. And if we're honest, we're going to find out it doesn't quite match up all the time. So let's look at Psalm 23 a little bit today and see how Jesus is in it. First thing we read is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What's going on in here? If this is about Jesus, remember that Jesus is the Lamb of God. We heard that in the Gospel reading, in the Revelation, book Revelations, where it's mentioned that the Lamb of God who is seated at the throne. So we hear already that who's the Lamb? It's Jesus. Well, then who's his good shepherd? Well, certainly not us. It's his Heavenly Father. So we have a relationship already established in this psalm that shows us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who comes to earth, and who's the shepherd? It's his Father. And his Father is the one that Jesus is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he says that throughout the Scriptures. I and the Father are one. He is always talking about his Heavenly Father. He's always making sure that we understand that there is this relationship that's going on in the Scriptures. Because Jesus is the beloved Son of God who places himself in a relationship of dependency, total dependency on his Heavenly Father. Just like a sheep, Jesus is going to go where his Heavenly Father, his Good Shepherd, is going to lead him. Jesus has placed himself totally under his care, and Jesus has total trust in whatever his Father does, wherever his Father leads him. And whatever his Father will provide for him, he puts his trust there and no place else. Just consider when Jesus was in the wilderness. He waited for his Father to feed him. He didn't let the devil tempt him into taking care of himself. He waited upon the good pleasure of his Heavenly Father, his shepherd. And then in Gethsemane, he prayed, "Whatever the will of the Father would be, that's what I'll do. Lead me wherever you ever wish to take me, and that's what I'll do. I shall not want." Oftentimes we look at this and we go, we're going to be lacking in anything we want in this life, but that's not really what's going on here. Because look at Jesus again. What did he have in this life? He didn't have a home. He even says, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He didn't have a job where he earned money and depended on that. When he had to pay the temple tax, he told one of his disciples, "Go down to the lake, catch a fish, open his mouth, and there'll be the coin. We'll put that in for us." And he didn't have a bank account, obviously, because he had to go fishing to get the money for his temple tax. Jesus was not wanting or lacking in his life because he knew and he trusted that everything that his Father wanted him to do would be according to his promises that were given to Jesus. Jesus was completely satisfied with his Father and what he was doing regarding the plan of salvation for you and for me. Jesus depended on his Father's will. He followed his Father's will in order to suffer and die for your sins and mine. And Jesus was satisfied that his death would pay the price for all people, would bring forgiveness for all people. And Jesus was totally satisfied with the management that his Father had over his life, his good shepherd leading him wherever he would go. That was his dependence on his heavenly Father, his good shepherd. The psalm goes on, he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Jesus came to a world where the green pastures were rather lacking in his day. Green pastures for the soul. The people that he came to were being burdened. Burdened by a number of things. One of the great burdens that they had was the fact that they were under the tyranny of foreign governments, foreign enemies. And that had happened because basically they had sinned against God and God had taken their kingdom away from them. But even more importantly, their religion, the religion of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the religion of the prophets was being twisted and morphed into something other than what it originally was meant to be. It had become a works righteousness religion, a religion that was only placing more and more burdens on the people. Just remember what Jesus was always talking against with the high priests and the Pharisees, how you want to pile on more rules and more regulations, making life more difficult instead of easing their burdens. See, the focus had become living good instead of believing in God as your Savior. The focus had now become what you need to do versus what God was going to do for you. They would teach God and men will care and accept you if you straighten up and fly right, as people say. You will be accepted by people if you are holy enough to be in this community. And only despair and hopelessness grows out of a religion like that, because you're going to eventually realize, I can't live up to this. That's not how good I can ever be. And that brings people down into despair, utterly concerned that they would never achieve God's grace, that they would never live in his presence. Or they become a self-righteous person, someone who thinks, well, I've made it, I'm doing better than everybody else, and therefore I'm better than the rest of you. And that's still very prevalent even to this day, where people will think in certain places, I'm so good, I don't need to worry about you. I'm so good, I'm fine with God, you better change your attitudes. And they become so blinded that they don't recognize their own need before God, their own need for his mercy. Just go back to when Jesus pointed out the publican and the Pharisee. The tax collector and the Pharisee. The tax collector was saying, Lord, forgive me. And the Pharisee was saying, Lord, look how good I am. I'm glad I'm better than the rest of them. But Jesus would be led to the green pastures, and there he would bring people to hear the words of God's presence among them. Jesus would teach them on those green pastures. And Jesus would give them the good news that the kingdom of heaven was there for them. Jesus would give them hope that repentance and forgiveness are now freely available for all of them. And that the law that they were so desperately being forced to obey and commit themselves in a absolutely day-by-day way, Jesus was now going to keep that law for them. The law that they couldn't keep. No longer would there be the raging flood of sins and guilt and tribulations pouring over them, drowning them in their sinfulness. But now God would calm them and bring them to the still waters of the knowledge that God cares for them, loves them, and forgives them. And that in Jesus it would be all done and safe, where they would find their help and their hope. That they would now have an eternal future with the Lord. because of what Jesus would do for them. Psalm 23 goes on, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Righteousness is doing what is right in God's eyes. Living, thinking, acting, speaking, everything according to God's word. So how often are you in those paths of righteousness? If we're honest, we have to say, at the best, we try once in a while. Because even the best that we do, as Isaiah writes, is our righteousness are like filthy rags. They aren't very good. Our paths aren't all that righteous. St. Paul even reminds us that the good that we want to do, that I leave behind. And those things I don't want to do, that's what I'm always doing. That's what I fall into. That's what I desire to do, actually. But Jesus, he was the one perfect Lamb of God who did follow the paths of righteousness. He honored the name of his heavenly Father. He listened to his good shepherd. He heard the voice of his good shepherd. And he shared that with all of us. He knew exactly where his good shepherd was sending him, where he was leading him. And because Jesus was that righteous and faithful lamb, he was righteous and faithful even to death, death on the cross. Jesus trusted in his Father so much that even facing the terrors of his own brothers betraying him, like Judas did, like Peter denying him and the rest of the disciples running away from him, even facing the terrors of the Roman torture and crucifixion, he still trusted that his Father was going to lead him through and bring him to that third day where he would rise again. Jesus, because of his own righteousness, would lead all people to be justified and receive life simply by believing and trusting in him and not in our own righteousness. Jesus did as the Lamb of God. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and there he feared no evil. He walked through that valley willingly. He went to his death because he loved you. Jesus was separated from his physical body, and he was separated from his good shepherd for your sake. Jesus took all of your filthy, rotten, selfish, and rebellious sins, all of my filthy, terrible, rotten selfishness and sins, and there his Father, the shepherd, turned away from him, taking our punishment, taking what we deserved. However, the beloved Lamb of God was also confident in the promise that the Father, his good shepherd, he would not reject him forever, because that was his promise also. The shepherd, he would take the rod, the heavenly Father would take the rod, his powerful weapon, which is his word, and he would defeat Satan and sin and death. God the Father gave that word originally to Adam and Eve when he said that I will send the Messiah. And Satan and the Messiah would compete, they would fight, and Satan would bruise the heel, but the Messiah would crush the head of Satan. Jesus also reminds us that God so loved the world, the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order to save it, that the world might be saved through him. The word of God, his rod, is what destroys the devil and his lies. The word, the powerful rod of God, provides forgiveness for sin and releases us from death. His word is what does that. And then with the staff of God that also comforts the lamb, Jesus was raised from the dead. Because a staff usually we'll see is a giant crook in it, and shepherds would use that to hook the lamb if they were over on a precarious cliff looking at death itself, and they would scoop it up and take it away. And that's what the Father did with his Son Jesus, raising him from the dead for you and for me. There was a meal also set before Jesus How many times do you read in Gospels where Jesus sat down with his enemies, the Pharisees, the chief priests, all of those people who all they wanted to do was try to trap Jesus into saying something that they could get him indicted on so that they could diffuse anything he had to say so that they can tell the world Jesus is a fraud. That was sitting before his enemies, a meal. And then even on the night he was betrayed, a meal was set before him where Judas would betray him and the disciples would eventually just run away. And then Jesus was also anointed, anointed at his baptism, but also anointed by a woman prior to his crucifixion who poured oil on his head. See, the psalm is really about Jesus. And then there's the cup. My cup overflows. Well, Jesus had a couple of cups that he took for us. The first is the cup of wrath, the wrath of God for our sins, the wrath of God that overflowed that cup because of the sinfulness of not just one person or two, but billions upon billions throughout history. And that cup of wrath overflowed so much, yet Jesus drank it all down for you and for me. And now we have a second cup, the cup of the New Testament, the cup of forgiveness that Jesus offers to you and to me, that overflows with his blood, that keeps pouring out for you and for me, so that we, each and every time we drink of it, we have his forgiveness. We have his promise of his love for you and for me. And with repentant faith, we receive that each and every time we drink from that cup of Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God that goodness and mercy follows. Wherever Jesus is found, wherever he's in his word and sacrament, there faithful hearts and minds of people will be receiving his comfort and his grace. There Jesus will dwell with them. And there, here, he dwells with you. And Jesus also dwells in the house of the Lord forever. He was raised up from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And there he sits at his right hand, ruling his people, guiding his church, leading you and me through this valley, through this shadow of death, so that we can be with him in eternity. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And I've talked to you about how Jesus has been the Lamb of God, how his heavenly Father is his good shepherd. But we also remember today that Jesus is God Almighty. He is not only the Lamb of God, but he also is the good shepherd, as he tells us in the Gospel of John. So everything that the Father did, the Son will do too. As the Father cares for Jesus, Jesus is going to care for you in the same manner, because God works in the same way all the time. The good shepherd, Jesus, is leading you now, his little lambs, in the same caring and loving way that his heavenly Father cared for him. Yes, there's going to be times in this life when it's hard and filled with uncertainties, but he's there to lead you. He's there, Jesus, to provide forgiveness, his promise of forgiveness of sins, and the promise of his comfort over his love for you. Yes, the good shepherd is going to use his rod, the word, to discipline us, to bring us back when we stray away from him and bring you back into the sheepfold. He does that because he cares for you, and he doesn't want you to be lost and gobbled up by the terrors of Satan who seeks to destroy you. And yes, you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death at some time, but it's only a shadow now because Jesus has defeated it. And yes, trusting in Jesus, in his work, and believing his promises, you too will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The good shepherd Jesus is a good shepherd because he was the good lamb, the Lamb of God. He cares for you just as his heavenly Father cared for him. And under his care, you will lack for nothing. None of God's promises for you will be lacking. And you can and will be satisfied under his gracious and loving management. Because in that management, he is going to bring you through this life into eternal life. In the name of our good shepherd, we pray. Amen.